teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God or woman may be competent, equipped for every good work. So as I begin, I'd just like to remind you what the purpose of spiritual disciplines are. You know, we began the series by looking about strengthening of the inner man or woman. And ultimately, the spiritual disciplines are to bring us into a place, into an environment where we can connect with God. And where we can start to have our inner man strengthened in order to honour God and live the life that God has intended for each of us in our day-to-day lives. It's about connecting us with God. It's a place where we can deepen our faith and deepen our connection with Him. So the spiritual disciplines that we've already looked at and the spiritual disciplines that we're going to continue looking at, they're not an end in themselves. They're a means to an end. They're a means to connecting us with God. Because that's what God wants to do. You know, He's not a God that's so far off and unattainable and unreachable. God is here with us, right here today. And if we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit wants to say, you can hear what God has to say to each of you.
Thank you. To have some new batteries in there. But thank you. So the spiritual discipline series, so we're on today. It's through just practicing of regular spiritual disciplines. There's one, I get a daily devotional sent into my emails. And there was something that came earlier in the week that I wanted to share with you. And it says this, "My son and my daughter, do you realize that everything you long for is found in me? Will you come and sit with me? Will you study? And I do mean study my word. Will you give me more of your time? Because the time you spend with me, the deeper your hunger for me will be. The more you spend time with me, the greater your dissatisfaction of the world and all its offerings will be. Because you hunger for more of whatever you give your focus to. So will you focus on me? And will you let me surprise you with the results?" I started to think over what this was meaning in my own life earlier in the week. I was meditating over the truths contained within this. And as I thought what that meant for those that I lead as part of in the church and as part of Street Connect. And just like I'm sharing with you today, we had a staff training session at Street Connect, and I shared with them about this and about the importance of drawing aside and spending that time with God, because when we do that, we are blessed. And God, like it says here, you know, everything we long for is found in Him. You know, what do we long for? What are we looking for? Because all these things can be found in God. And the part, what you hunger for and what you give your focus to, you know, are we giving that to the Lord? And I felt it challenging me and encouraging me to seek and spend more time with Him. So there's a sentence in that that I particularly wanted to focus on, and it was the part of study. It says, "Will you come and sit with me? Will you study? I do mean study my word. Will you give me more of your time?" You know, some say that our greatest commodity is our time. You know, and how do we manage our time? But I also heard someone saying that you can't really manage time because no matter how intelligent you are, you know, every single person gets 24 hours in a day. You can't change that. But in terms of being able to manage our time effectively, it's about managing our priorities. So what are we prioritizing with our time? You know, because we need to be prioritizing our walk with God and investing our time into Him. Because as it says in here, it said at the last part of that quote that I read to you, you know, when we give Him more of your time, when you focus on Him, will you let me surprise you with the results? You'll never be disappointed in spending your time with God. And that's what we've kind of touched on through the spiritual disciplines so far. We've looked at prayer, we've looked at meditation, we've looked at fasting, we looked at self-examination, and this morning we're looking at study. Now, will we come and study? So, first of all, what's the difference between studying and reading? Which there is a big difference. So first of all, I want to look at what reading is, because studying is not just reading. So I'm hoping by now in some of the disciplines we've looked at that we've embedded healthy spiritual rhythms into our lives. And that's a daily quiet time, a daily connection with God. I never touched on quiet time as a spiritual discipline because I think in the lead up to this series, Alistair wrote a lot of good material on a daily quiet time that he shared with the life groups. I'm sure you can still access that material if you've not seen it, but there was some fantastic material about the benefits of a daily quiet time. So in our quiet time, there's a time where we'll be reading our Bible, you know, where we're maybe reading 1, 2, 3 verses within that time, you know, which is for our own edification and which is something that as believers that we should be practicing daily because, you know, the Word of God, as it said in that quote I read at the beginning, what we focus on, you know, when we focus on and get the Word into us on a daily basis, it helps shape our thinking and helps focus us on the right things. Because that, for me, it works by doing that first thing in the morning because I know that the benefit of connecting with God, first of all, sets me up well for the day. So that's what reading our Bible. You might be a night owl. For me, it hits 8 o'clock. I'm exhausted. And by the time I get the kids to bed, I'm pretty quickly in bed afterwards. But I like to get up early to spend quality time with God. So it's about reading our Bible. But they are different. You know, through reading, I think you're looking for the personal application for your daily life. But what about study? Bible study is about going deeper into the things of God. It involves asking questions. And beginning with the likes of such questions as who wrote this particular book in the Bible? Why was it written? Who was it written to? What exactly are they trying to say? You know, and it helps us contextualize what we're reading and get a good understanding of why it was written in the first place. So we're delving deeper into the different books of the Bible and studying the Word of God. You know, because there's so many writers within the Bible and we need to understand why they were writing it, what they were trying to say, conveying their message and who they were writing to. And it helps us get a good understanding of the Bible. And there's great material out there for studying the Bible. You've got study Bibles, you've got Bible dictionaries, concordance, Bible handbooks showing the maps of the Bible, the pictures, help us get an understanding of the culture of the time. And that really helps us to understand how we can apply that for today. You know, I remember a period of my time when I was first really learning the Bible, and I used to, you know, access as much of this stuff as I could because it's good to get a full picture of what the Bible is actually saying. And, you know, and you might not need all these big study Bibles, big study handbooks, concordances, because they're big, heavy books, you know, it might not have as easily accessible, but each of us has one of these now. So we thank God for modern technology. In some of the other disciplines I've spoken about the potential hindrances of these to our spiritual disciplines. But in terms of Bible study, there's apps out there where we can get, you know, all the concordances, the Bible dictionaries, all the different translations of the Bible. So it's great to download one of these onto your phone if you haven't already. And we can study particular, not just the books of the Bible, but portions or verses or even particular chapters of the Bible. Because some of, let's be real, some of these are pretty hard to get your head around for those of you that have read the Bible. There's certain sections of the Bible that are quite difficult to understand and interpret. This is where studying of the Word comes into play. Example, the book of Genesis, when you first become a Christian, I know I had a lot of questions around some of the sections within this particular book. For instance, if Adam and Eve were the only people on earth, so where did their son Cain get his wife from? How did people live so long before the flood? You know, living on till they're 800-900 years old. You know, and if everyone stemmed from Adam and Eve, how do we have so many races with different skin colours? You know, these are questions that when I'm reading, I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, when I first became a Christian when I was 28 years old, I had a lot of questions that I wanted answered. And I'm asking people, so how, you know, this doesn't make sense. You know, but by studying and looking deeper into these things, you know, you can find answers to these questions. So you might be asking, what is the answer to some of these questions? That's over to you. If you want to find the answers, then study the Bible. There's a lot of stuff out there. If you've got questions, look into these. Because also, you know, new people or new Christians or people that aren't Christians that maybe first come along certain parts of the Bible, this is the sort of stuff they often come at you with. You know, how could this happen? How, you know, so we need to be able to give an account for the hope we have. And we need to be able to answer some of these questions. How can we answer these questions if we're not studying and looking deeper into the things of God? Because who here ever gets stumped a bit where someone asks them a difficult question about a difficult portion of the Bible? You know, if we're going to be able to answer this, then we need to dig deeper into the things of God. So go and study if you want to find these answers. I'm not going to make it easy for you by giving you the answers to these. But as we can clearly see from the examples we've looked at, there is a difference from reading our Bible and studying our Bible. But the discipline of study, you know, we can learn so much also beyond the Bible. You know, there's some great stuff out there that we can use to grow as Christians. Because ultimately, the aim of God in our lives is for us to become more and more like Christ, to be transformed from glory to glory, to be changing and growing as we become Christians, to continually be growing and becoming more like Him. So we do that primarily through the Word of God and through building healthy, good Christian relationships. There's a number of spiritual disciplines that we've yet to touch on. But in terms of study, there's some great Christian books out there. You know, there's actually books about books of the Bible. You know, if you want to dig deeper into certain books, there's great commentaries, there's great expositions of these different books. I've read some great ones on the Gospels that helped explain the parables and what Jesus was actually meaning and how this would relate to the time. And it helped me get a fuller understanding. But there's great biographies of Christians who have went before us. Men and women of God who've went on and achieved great things from Him, for Him, that we could learn so much from. You know, rather than watching the rubbish that's on the TV or reading, you know, Hello magazine and all the rubbish that comes in with that. Sorry if you're offended if you read that, but, you know, there's much better things we can be getting into our spirits that's going to build us up, that's going to edify us, and is going to help us become more effective for God. So good Christian books. You know, we all love a good story, don't we? We love to read about the heroes of the faith, men and women maybe from 1,000 years ago, 100 years ago, or even in the last 10, 20 years, we can learn so much from them, you know, how they came to faith, what they did for God, their personal story and history, you know, their own walk with the Lord, and how did their faith play out and the impact they made. You know, the likes of George Mueller, Hudson Taylor, Charles Spurgeon or Billy Graham, or for the women, Jackie Pullinger, Mother Teresa, Corrie ten Boom. You know, there's many, and many of the characters within the Bible, men and women that we can study to learn about how their lives have impacted the world around them. But what about, you know, there's biographies learning from other people's lives, but good Christian books on maybe a topic that you need to grow more in. You know, what are you currently looking to grow in? Is there a particular area of your life that you need spiritual growth in? Because spiritual growth doesn't happen by accident. You know, I've spoke before about like a seed, you know, and if you put a seed on here, on this stage, nothing much would happen to it. You know, you have to put it in the right environment. You have to nurture that seed, water it, feed it. It needs the right amount of light. That's what the spiritual disciplines are. But if we want to grow spiritually, we need to be intentional about that growth. So do you want to develop your leadership skills for aspiring leaders? Are you a parent in need of developing your parenting skills? Yes, I can put my hand up to that one. I need to improve my parenting skills. Are you preparing for marriage? Is there anyone single here? Or is there anyone married here that still needs help in their marriage? Me again, I'll put my hand up. There's not many hands going up, but I'm pretty sure some of you need some help in these areas as well. You know, what about studying about, learning more about the spiritual gifts? What about looking into church history? You know, different theological areas. So here I'm going to do a little plug for some great stuff that's happening within this church and the wider apostolic churches. Anyone that's been on the Batten Leadership Program, it's a 2-year intensive course. We've got some graduates sitting in the room this morning, and I'm sure they could stand up here and speak of the benefits of participating in that course and how much they've grown spiritually through participating in this. So we're actually enrolling for the Batten Leadership Program. So if you might not see yourself in a leadership position yet, but we all could grow in leadership and we can all serve in various ministries. The more we can grow in our leadership, the more effective we can be in our ministries. And it's not just leadership development, it's ministerial, theological, they're looking at pastoral leadership, they're looking at a number of topics, church history. So if you're interested in this, I think the applications were going live this week. And by the end, that's going to be open until the end of September. And we have Stephen and Helen Anderson, who've had a great ministry for God nationally, who are going to be joining the church in a couple of weeks. They've got an equipping ministry. That's what they feel. They want to equip Christians to go and serve effectively. So they've got an event at the beginning of January. So the first, is it the third to the... Third, so it's a 2020 vision, the 3rd to the 5th of January. So if that's of interest, please come along, because we need to invest in ourselves if we're going to make a difference in this world. So there's also, you know, so back on, so what about, you know, areas that we're struggling with? That we can grow, and there's great Christian material. You know, what about anger? Is there anybody here that has struggles with anger? You know, what are we doing to grow in that and overcome that? What about anxiety? There's a lot of good material out there that we can read to help us cope with our anxiety. You know, what about things like pornography? You know, it's a big problem in the church today. And it's the sort of thing that's swept under the carpet. And I don't think it's addressed enough. You know, so there's great stuff out there and there's support available to help us grow in these areas. We can study and look into these things if these are areas that we need to develop in. So there's great books, whether we're wanting to grow ministerially, theologically, an area of struggle, a personal area that we want to really become more effective in. There is so much out there. As good as this material, for me, the key to learning isn't in the accumulation of knowledge. The purpose of learning always has to end with application. If you're not applying to your life what you're reading or what you're studying, the Bible says you're like a man that looks in the mirror, and when he comes away from the mirror, he forgets what he looks like. You know, I'm sure all of us know pretty well what we look like, maybe some more than others, maybe some spend a bit more time in front of the mirror, but the Bible says that we need to be applying what we're learning, being doers of the word, not just hearers. So application, and for application, you know, when we're studying the Bible, it's great to have a little notebook or something, or taking notes, or if we're studying a particular book, you know, we could be highlighting sections, meditating over things that we're learning. You know, yes, we meditate on the word, but if there's real truth within a book that's written by a man or woman of God that jumps out to you, it's good to reflect over, think over what that is meaning into our own lives, because this is the sort of stuff that helps. It's where the rubber really hits the road, is when we're applying these truths into our daily lives. So we need to be applying this stuff, because it really, that's where the real growth happens. You know, asking ourselves the difficult questions where we need to grow and implement these strategies that are going to help us grow in these areas. You know, remember the last teaching on spiritual disciplines was on self-examination. You know, are we examining our daily lives? So this is where the questions and the reflections come into play about what we're learning and about our daily lives. So I think you've maybe been given enough ideas for how you can implement this particular spiritual discipline into the regular rhythms of your life. But one last thought that I maybe want to leave with you before we finish is another type of study. I've been talking about studying of the word and of books, particularly in maybe courses. Have you ever thought about nature and our external world? Might think, what are you talking about? You know, studying of our external world and nature. Let me read you a verse from the Bible. Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. And let's use Jesus as our example, because he is our prime example that we should follow as Christians. Now, Jesus often, when he was teaching, used the external world around him to teach scriptural truths into the people he was speaking to, his disciples, and the wider connections that he made. He often used the natural world. Now, looking at our solar system and our universe, how Earth fits into this and the way it all cycles around. No, do you know that if the Earth was just a few miles one way or the other, life wouldn't be able to exist as it does? And you look at how the solar system plays. Well, what about the moon, the way that cycles the Earth and the way that plays its part in the tidal systems of the oceans? You know, is that a coincidence, this stuff? You know, I once heard someone saying, you know, believing in the Big Bang Theory is like believing that if an explosion happened in a scrapyard, out would come a BMW. You know, if it was a big bang and then it just all came and fitted in nicely together, you know. But the reality is there is a creator. There's a creator that created this all to fit in the way it does. So if the Earth was slightly a bit cooler, further away from the sun, life wouldn't be as it is. If it was a bit closer, you know, it would just be too hot, you know. And the way that it all works together, what about human life? DNA, the intricacies of the human body. When we look and study into this, you know, the way every individual is different, a different fingerprint. Our DNA is unique, yet there's 6 billion 7 billion people on the earth, and how many more have went before, and not one fingerprint or not one person's DNA is the same. You look at nature, the seasons, the four seasons, you know, some countries might not quite have that. I was speaking to someone this morning that just said, it was on about the UK or Scotland just has one season, you know, throughout the year. You know, we're supposed to have four, but it doesn't quite work out like that. But, you know, when we look at this stuff, how can we not look at this stuff and believe that there's not a God? Or that this stuff is by chance? You know, we look at the heavens, we look at all the stars in the sky, you know, the beauty we see around us. You know, we can learn by the way a tree grows, you know, and Jesus used all these examples because we're made to enjoy this stuff round about us. Yeah, because it shows us that we have an intelligent designer, you know, behind it all. That's as I look more and more into this stuff, the way that the cycles, the wind, the way that blows, the clouds are gen. You know, you think someone pretty clever has been behind this all. And us in our very small minds try and discount, you know. But God is over it all, bigger than it all. For me, that just blows my mind. And Israel, I've been wanting to go to Israel pretty much since I became a Christian. So I turned 40 this year. My wonderful wife had said that was our hope, was that we were going to get to Israel for my 40th. So we didn't quite make it. So it's probably going to be too hard with the young kids, taking them around this hot temperature, wanting to go and see things. So it's maybe something for at a later date. But I've heard it said by a number of people that they class Israel as like the fifth gospel. Because for those of you that have been privileged enough to visit Israel, to see everything firsthand, to see all the famous sites of where great things have happened, really helps bring the Bible to life. So for me, that's something that I want to achieve. Maybe when I'm 50, I might get there, or 60, depending how long the kids are still with us. They'll be pushed out, hopefully, well before then. But, you know, there's so much we can learn if we're intentional about studying it, and we can see God in these things. We can grow spiritually, and we can be more effective in our walk with Him. So in conclusion, just summing up three of the main points from this morning. So we've differentiated between reading our Bible and studying our Bible, and the importance of doing both regularly, not neglecting the study of the Word. And that we can study good Christian books, good books on books of the Bible, on characters of the Bible, great men and women that have went before us, and even on topical books for areas that we need to grow personally. Finally, nature and our external world. Now, hopefully, you can all go on and study, because there's real spiritual growth in implementing the spiritual discipline of study. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Ricky. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a man not ashamed. I once heard that the difference between knowledge and